Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth. Okay, we are kicking off a brand new message series today. You showed up on the right day today. And we are going to be talking about a man named Abraham. Abraham is one of the most influential, important characters in all of the Bible. We find his story in Genesis. And so we are going to be looking at Abraham. The reason why we decided to walk this journey and kind of study through Abraham is this. His story is about moving from the known to the unknown. It's a journey of faith and surrender. It's a journey of exploration to seeing who is God. And whether you have been following God forever from the cradle, or you are just starting to follow Jesus, to find out what does that even mean, what does that look like, the story of Abraham is awesome because we get to see all of these incredible moments where he gets it right and he understands who God is, and all these moments where he fails miserably and he just repeats those mistakes again. And we can see, like, that's a part of the journey. That's a part of the process. So I'm hoping that this is going to be something that's going to feed your very soul, that you are going to be encouraged, that when you face difficulties and trials and things get really tricky and confusing, you stand in good company with one of the earliest followers of God. So we're going to start today's message with the place that I'm sure you all assumed we would start at, Star Wars, 1977. Ooh, applause, huh? I'm going to be honest, I don't get a lot of applause. That was pretty awesome. Might be more George Lucas than me, but I'll take it. 1977, Star Wars comes out. And you can do like the little raise your hand if you were there. Yeah, big raise your hand. So here's why I want to talk about Star Wars. If you were to go to the movie theaters today and you were to see a space adventure with different aliens and races interacting and going on this galactic journey and they have battles and fighting, it wouldn't be like the, what is this mystery I'm observing? It'd be like, oh yeah, it's like Star Wars. Star Wars set a genre. It set this experience of a space adventure. It's really a space western that we just hadn't really seen or experienced before. And something fascinating happens when this movie comes in that uses some storylines that you're familiar with. It uses some things. There's this kind of this forgotten person that exists out in the wilderness. He's nobody. But someone shows up, circumstances show up where he finds out, oh, actually, you're someone very, very important. And this story and journey is taking you to incredibly exciting places. We're introduced into the story to a princess who doesn't fit quite in the same way that we understand princess. She's not just a damsel in distress, although she steps into those similar grounds. No, she is a blaster-wielding princess. She kind of sets a new genre for how we understand women, how we understand them engaging in these stories. And we have this incredibly complex story and mythology created with Wookiees and later Jar Jar Binks, a mistake, but that happened, right? These different people and creatures and planets, and now we walk around and we're like, oh, it's cold, it's a real Hoth day. And like, that's it's this way that it's invaded our culture. But if you go back to when the movie very first came out, it would have been shocking and surprising. It would have been all new. And in the same way, the story of Abraham has so invaded its way into our culture. We've so come to understand this story that it's not really shocking or surprising anymore. It's just, this is kind of the story. But all great stories start with something you assume and move to something that's surprising and engaging. All of the stories of Scripture use concepts and things that would have been somewhat familiar to the day, but the reason why they were written down, the reason why they were told and retold, is because there's something shocking and surprising. There's something different. We start to zig and then we zag, and everyone goes, oh, wow. And we see this over and over again. It becomes part of our culture that these things that were first revolutionary and surprising now become assumed. Why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? Hold your laughter. I know. But there was a time where that joke would have been surprising. It's a setup for a joke, but then it's not really a joke. It's just a statement of fact. Because it would have been surprising. That's what made the joke, not now, but then, funny. Scripture is that. But when we've so adopted it, we've so adopted the story of Abraham, it's just, oh, yeah, that's the way the story's supposed to go. So I'm going to invite you, as we start this journey, to hear Abraham for the first time. And if you're like, well, you're in luck, Kurt. I have no idea who you're talking about. But you're going to be familiar with the themes. Would you experience these themes for the first time? And we're going to try and do the work of understanding the culture in which this happened. The culture in which this story became repeated to say, oh, that's surprising, because this is why it's important. In the surprise, we learn about the very nature of God. Hidden in the surprise, right there embedded in it, is this is who God is, not the way that you would expect, not the way that you would assume. So, we're going to start with Genesis 11. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Genesis all throughout this series. I encourage you to read about the life of Abram, and then later his name is changed to Abraham. A little bit of context, this part where we go, it's led off by a genealogy. And if you struggle with insomnia, just hit up some Bible genealogies. It will put you out like that. See, it was incredibly important in this time to create a link, to create a story. This is why the story matters, because it ties back to this person. And when we get the genealogy of Abraham that starts just before this, Abram, in the early story, it traces back to Noah. And so in that story, Noah becomes the new Adam. He becomes the new start of all the people that will exist. And so it's this lineage, this link. And so if you would read with me in Genesis 11, this is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Now, a quick note about her. This isn't known by a lot of people, but she was actually a dairy farmer in Boston because she was a wicked good Milcah. Come on, that was a little funny. All right, Milcah. All right. Nahor's wife was Milcah, and she was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now, Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. Now, in this story, as you go through this, this might just seem like this is just more information. We're just getting the backstory, but in the way that the story's told, this is our first shock and surprise. This is our first change to the narrative. Remember, we just came from a genealogy, which most of us just see is a story about who came from whom. But ultimately, it's a story about birth and regeneration and lineages continuing. And at the end of that, we continue with this story and this family. And what do we find out about Abraham and Sarai? There will be no lineage for them. For them, this is the end of the story. Now, for us today in the world, when we think about issues of infertility, incredibly difficult, it can still be something that is a hard, hard part of our stories and our lives. But there's other ways that people go into that, where you would have adoption, you would have another way where if you were childless but you wanted a child, there are ways that you could engage and move in the world that wouldn't be the same. There would still be a pain, a loss, but there's another way for the story to move forward. And this time, it's just the end of the story. There's a loss of hope. There's a loss of continuation. For them, family was the ability for your name to go forward. You didn't everyone just strike out into their own thing. You did what your parents did. You were passing on your traditions, your life, your livestock, your homes, all of it. The place where you were from was marked by the people that lived there. It wasn't just the name of a place. It was the people. The people and the land are intertwined in this world and culture. And so we have our first surprise. Their lineage will not go forward. Now, we have a map because I want to be able to kind of visualize some of this. There's a concept in Sarah's life that shows up here. Hopefully you can see this. The beginning of the story with Tara and their family is down here in Ur. And it's by the river Euphrates. If you are familiar with the Mesopotamian area, was incredibly fertile and incredibly important because much of the Middle East is not. It's not fertile. It doesn't have these two major rivers coming through and feeding into the Persian Gulf and having, as you can see up there, fertile land. They moved out of Ur and went up to Haran. Now, this is still an area that's in that kind of fertile place. It's an incredible journey for them, but there's a safety net there where you know that you're by the river. Now, this is important because as we're going to see, when Abram at this point moves forward, he moves away from the place of the fertile land. He moves away from the safety. If you have livestock, there's a lot of places you go. The desert isn't usually one of them. You don't have to have an ag degree to know that, right? You're with me. And so I want you to kind of keep this in mind. The other thing that's incredibly important when you see this kind of red line coming down, which is the journey of Abraham, and it goes ultimately to Egypt, where we'll pick up our next story with Moses and the Israelite people being enslaved in Egypt. You can see it's a movement through the desert, and it is present-day Israel. This establishes Abraham and the Israelite people in this region. It might be kind of difficult to see, but where you have all those, the cartoons of the people going, you see the water down there and up there. This is the land of Jesus. We have the Sea of Galilee there. We have Jerusalem. We have Bethlehem. We have Nazareth. All these areas that figure so prominently into the New Testament story is right here, and they're marked by these very people. So, not only does that line about Sarai being childless kind of hit with a thud, it hurts. There's a loss of hope. But it really signifies that kind of barrenness that we talk about. A place where no life can come from is further reflected in this area, the desert. What does it look like to walk into the barren lands, the place that cannot produce fruit? And so in Genesis 12:1, this is the first line, the first call. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." How many of you grew up somewhere other than Portland, like this general region? You grew up somewhere else. Now, when you go back home, if you go back home, usually, regardless of how much has changed, there's this kind of familiarity, right? And you don't even know how it happened, but when you go back to your hometown and you're traveling with anyone, all of a sudden, you are leading that jungle boat cruise in Disneyland, right? Like, and right over here, at that Circle K is where I hung out with my friends. And if I can direct your attention to the left side, that's my high school where I grew up. That was the locker I was shoved in as a youth. it brings back this flood of memories. It's our roots, it's our history, it's our lineage. It's a place that we know our way around it because it's comfortable. It's like putting on an old sweatshirt that just fits. Like it's been tailored to your body because you grew up there. And if you moved away at some point in your life, regardless of how painful or difficult that hometown and growing up there was, that first time you left was also terrifying because it's a surrender of all of those things. This might sound silly, but when I moved from California, I went up to school in Seattle, and it was probably my first month there, and my truck broke down. It was a 94 Ford Explorer, not super surprising. My truck broke down, and I remember being struck with, I don't know anyone who can fix this. And I grew up in my hometown convinced that everyone who does auto repair is a crook and a thief. They're just lying in wait to take all of your money. You have to trust this small group of people that are either directly related to you or your family members can vouch for them. And I remember feeling so exposed. Like, they're just going to take my truck. It's over now. Like, there's no one to trust. You have to go out and find your own connections, your own places. And while it might be an exciting journey at the beginning, it's terrifying. How many of you, when you were kids, played tag? If you're fast, you loved it. But for kids like me that grew up wearing Husky jeans, not my favorite game, unless one thing, base, right? If I can play tag with home base, oh, that game is awesome. Because it's not even tag anymore. You might as well just call it taunting, right? Because you just, a couple feet from base, you're like, oh, you can totally get me. No, safe base, doesn't count. That's what home is. It's home base, that you have a place to fall back to. When things get scary and things get swirling and out of control, you have a comfort to step back into, a place where I am safe. God's call to Abraham is to play a game of tag without home base, to move away from the things that you knew, from your family members, from the people that would say, you know, you look just like your father, to a place where people don't know and don't care who your father is. And this is what's interesting. I actually saw a majority of hands raise in the room that you are not from here, to which all the native Oregonians said, carpetbaggers. But you're not from here. So for you, this experience is normal. It's routine. It's what you do at some point as part of life. You strike out on your own and you go somewhere else and you make home. That's that pioneer spirit. But that was not a Middle East reality during this time. It wasn't done. You didn't just go out and strike out on your own. You stayed close to your family, to your tribe, so you can protect them and they can protect you. You stick together, and God calls Abraham to go, to strike out on his own. All of his routines, all of his mechanics are gone. And it's a new world. It's a new place. Why is this important? One, it would have been surprising. This already would have been shocking to them at this time that he would have gone. And it reflects something about the nature of God. That God is calling us to find our home. That God is calling us to find our safety, our home base, away from the things that we grew up with and we call familiar and known. And God is saying, would you find your home base in me? Now, God isn't some creepy outdoor school saying like, no, do a trust fall. It'll be good for you. What God is calling us, the reason why God is calling us away is because that illusion of home actually isn't safety. That our hometowns can fail us, that our connections, our relationships can break apart. They can't always be there. They can't always protect. God invites us away from the thing we think can protect us into the reality of the God who is with us. And that's the same call for us today. Not to abandon home, but to find God as our true home. For me and my story, like, oh, you think you're from Escalon, California? No. You're from the God of the universe. And only when you step away from what's known, only when you step out from the known to the unknown, do you find what? You are known. The God who knows you, the God who created you, the God who loves you is found when we shed off this false sense of security that doesn't exist anyway. Ariel and Scott and Jessica are stepping out and striking out into that unknown today, but this message is not just for them. It's for all of us. Even if you grew up here, even if this is unknown, this is known, this is comfortable, God is always calling and moving us forward. The verse continues in Genesis 12, 2 through 5. God's words to Abraham. This, just so you know, this is the foundation of what we believe the call for Christians is still today. That this call, the original call of God to Abraham, does not change. But through the power of Christ, through what we observed in the death and resurrection of Christ, this call, this what's called, referred to as a covenant relationship between God and Abraham, is moved to us. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Some people, by the way, when you read that, you get caught up in the, I'm going to curse those who curse you. Seems kind of petty, right? Or you're like, that is awesome. I got a couple of people. Just off the top of my head, I got three at work. I just love just a minor curse, right? Like a little case of gout. But catch that last line. The line about curse doesn't exist without the next line as well. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. Even though there is a call and a protection for Abraham, and that those who are an enemy of you will be dealt with, the blessing of God isn't removed from them. All people will be blessed through you. And it finishes with, so Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with them. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. This is a whippersnapper, right? This is a youngin'. This call ultimately, from you see in the map, from Haran is a call to the wilderness. It's a call to the desert. It's a call to the barrenness. And what Abraham finds out in the barrenness, out in the wilderness, is a new home, is God. And it's important that you understand the wilderness, that you understand the desert, because it starts here and it doesn't stop. It's a continued theme all throughout the Bible. The Israelite people who later are enslaved by the Egyptians, when they become free, they go to the desert, the wilderness. When Jesus is baptized and called and commissioned, this is my son with whom I am well pleased, Jesus immediately goes to the wilderness. It's a place that signifies It bucks all of the trends. It's a new genre that's being spoken out. You think that life just exists in the fertile land. Oh, no, no, no. The God who created both the fertile land and the barren desert is your sustenance in the desert. God will meet you in the barren places. The call all throughout this morning from God is to move from the known to the unknown. The unknown isn't like playing some sort of game show where you're like, I'll choose door number two. And you hope that when the door opens, it's a new car. You're like, yeah, I picked right. It's not luck. It's not possibly better than what we already had. The movement from the known to the unknown is always difficult. There's always a period, a time, an experience of barrenness, of wasteland, of desert. But, if you will fix your eyes, your heart, if you will knit your very soul to the God who calls us from the known to the unknown, in the barren place, we will find fertility unknown. We will find this regeneration, this new life, this resurrection from the dead place to life, because that's the nature of the God that we serve. And for some reason, the twist in the story is God knows we don't always see that in the fertile places. We can't always get when the crops are big and we're having lots and lots of blessing and abundance. We don't always understand the very nature of God. Now, I want to be careful here. I don't think that God brings curse to our life, that God doesn't decimate our lives and be like, I bet you miss me, don't you, huh? Just did it so you'd know me. God is not a jealous ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend seeking to harm us so we would know how good we had it when we were with God. No. God uses the barrenness that comes with living. If you haven't, you will. Most of you have. But in that place, we have a new perspective on God. We see a reality that has always existed, that regardless of the circumstances that appear great or appear terrible, there is a God who speaks blessing over our life, seeks to bless you and all you come into contact with, and that all the world would be blessed by this God. One of the thoughts that I am fascinated with, if you're familiar with later in the story, with Moses, when Moses calls the Israelite people out of Egypt and out of slavery, and they are marching and going towards the promised land, 40 years in the desert to the promised land. I don't think they found the promised land when they got there. I think the promised land was in the desert the whole time. It's in the desert that they see God in a cloud by day and God in a pillar of fire by night. It's in the desert that their daily need, their food, manna, falls from heaven. And it's not just slop or dehydrated bread that they eat. No, the description of manna that comes to the Israelite people in the desert, in the barren places, it tastes sweet like honey every day. In the desert, they see rocks open up and fresh, refreshing, delicious water comes pouring out. Where's the promised land? With God. So the invitation for you is to step off a home base, to find out that it could never protect you anyway. It's a false sense of security. It's one that we build around ourselves. But when we let go, and the analogy I used in my prayer for Ariel, when we walk away from the trunk of the tree out into the limb, we find God there to support us, to be with us, to lead us ever forward. I'll invite the band up. We'll pray. God, even as I say it, it sounds good, but God, it's so hard to live out. And God, we are creatures of habit. God, we go back to what's comfortable. We go back to what's known. God, I pray that we would be willing to surrender, to see you, God, to find you, to discover your blessing in the midst of the barren lands. God, I pray that your blessing would overwhelm us. And that, God, our lives would be set and structured in such a way that, God, when we experience incredible blessing, when everything is great, that we would see you in that, God, with us, loving us. And, God, when it's all been stripped away, when we have nothing and we feel like we have nowhere safe to go, that we would see that you are the safety we need, the safety we desire. God, stretch us and grow us as a people. That, God, we would build our lives on you and find that you are more than enough in the fertile lands and in the barrenness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is that as we seek to go out and to make a home in God, as we seek to move from the known to the unknown and to find that place, we find that God comes to make his home in us. That home doesn't exist in external features. That home doesn't exist in our circumstances. That home is not a place that we go to, but it's a place that God has built in us. That's the power of Jesus Christ. That's what gathers us together. That's what the death and the resurrection is all about, is that God, the same as the story of Abraham, came near us to make a home. That God walked with Abraham. Would you come to see that the God of the universe has come to make his home in you, and this is a good, good God. Would you move from the known to the unknown to find God as your home? Amen and amen. Enjoy the Super Bowl and have a great Sunday. Thank you.